Praise the Lord. It's amazing how a portion of what we're going to study this afternoon was already read by Brother Roel. We're thankful because it's the Holy Spirit of God that orchestrates everything. So if you have your Bibles with you, and if you're physically able to honor the Lord and turn our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, that's our starting point in our study. Isaiah 55. Do you know that God is sending invitations to all? And this portion of the scripture is an invitation. And some have already responded, but it's good to be reminded as far as the principles that you and I will learn from the Word of God today. Isaiah chapter 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me. Who's saying these words? The Lord. So he's telling us, listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest affair. That means abundance. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. And let's jump to verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. We always quote this, for the Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now let's turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, that's the gospel, John chapter 7. Glory to God. John 7, we're going to start with verse 37, all the way up to verse 39. John 7, 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, and that's the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. Okay, we have to listen to what Jesus is saying. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in Jesus, as the scripture has said, streams or rivers of living water will flow from within that person. By this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for this blessed opportunity you've given us. We declare and we believe that this is a blessed time. Lord, we could be somewhere else, but we know that, God, it is by the power and the help of your Holy Spirit that you cause us to come, to be here in this place, to study your word, to hear your voice speaking to our hearts. And we honor you, Holy Spirit of God, as it is you who would teach us and give us illumination, enlightenment, and understanding that would change our lives forever. Not just here physically on this earth, but Lord, to be reminded that what's being offered to us, Lord, it's eternal, everlasting life, eternal life, hallelujah. And so, God, we thank you that, Lord, you're going to cause every one of us. We even pray for our children, God, that, Lord, that they will become, and that, Father God, even for the parents taking care of their children, that they will be have this opportunity to listen to your voice as you speak to their hearts today, God. For what you have for us is always best for us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. Praise God. You know, an official announcement was recently issued that there's no more drought in California. Yay! You know, I think it's not hard for us to realize that, because with the amount of rainfall that the state has experienced the past year, and this just the month of January, the amount of rainfall was so much that our dams and reservoirs are full. How many of you remember that because of the drought, you know, it's not good for any nation, any city, any country to experience drought. How many of you, if you have a lawn, there was a limitation that we were even told that if you exceed a certain limit that you're only allowed, don't water your lawn, your grass. And so that's why people turn to the artificial grass, the turf, right? How many of you have that kind right now in your background, in your backyard or in your front yard? There's so many things. Even if you go to a restaurant, they said, do not give water if they don't ask for water. Have you ever experienced that? Unlike before, it's like, you know, automatically you'll be given glasses of water. You know, I could go on and on, but just for the sake of time, we know how important water is to our life. It's our basic necessity to survive. You know, a person can go without solid food for a period of time, but a person cannot last without an intake of water. We know even the benefits of what it does to our physical well-being. We know that water refreshes. When it's so hot on a summer day, you know, you drink an ice cold water and it refreshes you. We know that even for our hygiene, that if, you know, we feel dirty, we just take a shower, right? I remember my mom, because she loves to take a shower, and it's like when that was a reminder, you are to limit your showers. And she said, oh my goodness, I don't like that. I don't like that law, because we know how what it does even to our bodies. It refreshes us, it cleanses us. See, but today, through the Word of God, you and I will learn or be reminded, because it might be a familiar topic for some of us, but you know, how many of us believe that the Word of God is a good reminder for all of us? How, from the Word of God, it teaches us an important truth, that there's something that God is offering and giving to all. In Isaiah 55, it even says, how many of you don't have money, much money? Come, he says, come to me. And he said, what he's going to give us won't cost you anything. Wow. What he's going to offer to people is free, and it's something that is so precious that it goes beyond the benefits of what is being offered to anyone who comes to God. Will experience benefits that goes beyond the physical realm of life. We know that we have a lot of needs. If you were to be asked, what are your physical needs? For some of you who work, you would say, oh, at times, you know, after a long, long week of work, I need rest, right? How many of you would say, what are your needs? If you were to be asked, what's your need? Oh, I want to have the winning lotto for, how much is it now? Is it a billion now? But there was someone who has a winning ticket but has not claimed it. People, God is teaching us that money is not the answer to life. He knows that you and I need money to pay our bills, to pay rent, to buy things, to buy food. But when the Lord said, what did he say? Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Because there is something that God is opening up our minds and our hearts to, an important truth that in this world that you and I are living in, sa ating iniikutang mundo, in this world that we are living in, the world, the Bible also teaches us that this world that we are living in is, the God of this world, small letter G, is Satan. When man fell, what happened was, what should have been the authority given to us through Adam and Eve was given to Satan. So, but when Jesus died on the cross, that is about to be restored. That has been restored for some of us who have made the decision to accept Christ as our Savior and Lord. Meaning to say, God would want to bring restoration in the lives of people. Because the things that were lost when sin came in our lives, and Jesus is now saying, come to me. He didn't say come to this religious organization. No, he says, come to me, the person of our Lord Jesus, no one else. And so that's why he said, why do you spend your money on things that will not satisfy? I think most of us have lived long enough that we come to experience certain longings deep within. But one thing that you and I have to realize is that we would always refer to this for us to have an understanding that our total composition is not just this body. People can spend millions and lots of money just to satisfy the lust of this flesh. But there is an important part of us that needs to be taken care of, nurtured, and fed, and that is our spirit. When God made us, our total composition is spirit, soul, and body. And it's no accident, that's why the Word of God even gave us that sequence. So it's spirit. Spirit is that part of us that would commune with God because God is a spirit. But before we have this relationship with the Lord, that part of us is dead, spiritually dead. So those who are not, who don't have this intimate relationship with God through faith in Jesus, you know, you would see them walking, doing things. They can make decisions. So because what only is functioning is just the physical part and the soul where our emotions are, that's where we feel. We feel like, oh, I love you. When a husband would tell the wife, I love you, babe, I love you, hon. Men, do you say that to your wives? Yeah. Oh, batang hina. Men, do you say that to your wives?
Yes.
You have to. You say it not just in words, but also followed up with action, right? It's good to, women, men, you should know this. Women love attention. Give them the attention that they need. Don't neglect that, okay? All right, so life is too short. So for those women that your husbands are not here, continually pray for them because God has the power to change hearts. Don't give up on them. Yes. Amen, praise the Lord. God is good. He's a God of love, and he's a God who fixes relationships. There's hope in God. Amen. So he says, so don't spend your money and don't waste your time and money on things that will not satisfy. And he said, listen to me. So meaning to say, when you and I make that choice to come and hear the word of God, you are on the right track. You are on the right track because when God speaks, he will always give us words of life, words of hope. And even if it might mean a correction, because that's part of, it's an element, important element of the Word of God, is you and I all need to be corrected with our some ways that needs to be changed, right? And it's the Spirit of God who gives us that understanding, oh, this is an area in my life that I need to change. Thank you, Lord. Probably some of us have already experienced that when you and I would spend time with God through His Word and God would speak to us, right? That has happened to me many times because I know that God speaks and His Word is life to us. Hallelujah. Amen. And so here, what God is offering, in fact, Jesus, in that portion that we read, He says, come to me, all of you who are thirsty. God knows that you and I are searching for something that would bring satisfaction in our lives. But what people fail to realize is it's not about religion, but when Jesus says, another invitation that's found in the Gospel of Matthew says, come unto me, another invitation, come unto me, all of you who are heavily laden, who are, there's a burden, there's like, you're overwhelmed with a burden about many issues in life. If you are a parent, you're burdened about your family. If you're a father and you know, all these financial burdens and all, many things, relationships, even about what lies ahead. Even in the workforce, you know, we don't have the guarantee. See, that's why the Lord is telling us our security is not based on what we possess. Some people would say, if I win that half a billion dollars, I'm all set for life. Some people would say that because it's a wrong idea that the enemy has placed in the hearts and minds of people, and that needs to be changed. Because even, you know, the late, co-founder of Apple, when he died, the whole world mourned for his death. Steve Jobs, thank you. Why? Because he invented something that that a lot of people are now appreciating. You know, this technology that you and I are experiencing right now, how even with one simple phone, you're able to do many things, how it simplifies life. So many people mourned his death. And so all over the world, and it's what's all over the news when he died. But how is it that a man like Steve Jobs that created something that changed how we live our lives now and has made our lives easier can be mourned by people all over the world because of the benefits of his creation. But the Word of God reminds us that there is someone who died for us. And what Jesus offers goes beyond this physical life. Steve Jobs, unfortunately, in spite of his money, his millions, he died of cancer. Much as he wanted to live longer, much as even the people in Apple wanted him to live forever so that he would even make better creation. But he reached the end of his life because death comes to all. When the Bible tells us that truth, it's humbling. It's humbling. We are living on borrowed time because our tomorrows are never guaranteed. You know, one of the things when I was a young Christian that really hit me really hard about this was when John Kennedy Jr. died. He was a man in his prime. I think it was just 30s. He was rich. He was on his way to the wedding of a cousin. And he was a rich man. He was flying his own plane, his private plane. He flew that plane with a wife and a sister-in-law, but they never came to their destination. When you hear news like that, it confronts us with an important truth that life is short, life is fleeting, life is just but a vapor. And so that's why when God is giving this opportunity, and let me hear, I want you to hear what the Word of God says. God is fair and just. He will give each one an opportunity. No one can tell him that when that time of the day of judgment would come, I wasn't given the opportunity. No. Each one will be given an opportunity. That's why when God says, today is the day of salvation. So that's why when you and I are given that opportunity to hear His word, because it would require a response from our part, let us not delay. Let us not delay. And it's not just for someone who comes to a setting like this the very first time, but the word of God is a reminder for us all, including myself, because we're going to look at certain scriptures wherein something happened to the people of God along the way. They started right, but in the middle of their spiritual journey, something happened that they used to love God so much, but then something happened to their heart. Amen. And so that's why it's good for us to come together. Can I just say this at the onset? We are living in a times wherein the existence of Satan is, we're not giving him all the credit. But one thing, when we would mention about spiritual warfare or spiritual battle, God is a spirit and so is Satan. Hear me. We are engaged in a spiritual battle daily, day by day, moment by moment. He is all out to destroy lives. He's all out to destroy marriages. He's all out to destroy the lives of children, young as they are. I was just listening to a documentary about how these two young girls, not even in their teens, they were watching this video game. They call it Slender Man. I don't know much about that video, but to make the long story short, that video game was used by the enemy, obviously, to infiltrate the mind of these two young girls. I think they were just 10 or 12. They got an idea about how they were going to kill someone. So through the video game, they thought of inviting one of their friends in school to have a slumber party. But already, the enemy already put that in their mind about killing. They killed their friend. Parents, the reason why we're sharing tidbits of this information is because there should be a heightened awareness. We cannot be like sitting ducks and not be conscious or aware of what's going on. There might be a good invention like the phone. Parents may use that because with their tablets, you could use that if you're so busy, tied up with things in the house, and you would just let your children watch. But, you know, things can pop up. They can pop up. There are many hackers. There's so many. Know that there's evil around. That's what I would say. We cannot, I would always use this as an illustration. We cannot be ostriches. You know what an ostrich does? An ostrich is a long bird. And what it does, it can hide, it's going to hide its head under the sand. We cannot be like that and say, evil, evil, go away. And then, no. When you and I would spend time in the Word and God says, end of the age is near, so you and I need to be serious and watchful in our praying. See, God gives us insight. What does that mean? God gives us an understanding. Oh, this is what's happening right now. So we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because we cannot fight Satan on our own. When things are not going well with marriages, we need God. We need to get connected with what we talk about, supernatural strength, because the truth of the matter is our strength is limited. When there's so much going on and we can get overwhelmed with our problems, without Jesus, we will sink because He is our firm foundation. And Jesus teaches us how we can survive the storms of life. He said, hear my words and do it. Hear my words. And so every time we would make, we not really find time. We really have to find time for the Lord. We have to find time for His Word. And so that's why you and I will be reminded, because look at what Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21 says. Acts 3, 19 to 21. Glory to God. Acts 3, 19 to 21. Before we go to Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Acts is right after the Gospel of John. Acts 3, 19 to 21. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be blotted out or wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from where? From the presence of the Lord. Hear the words of the Lord. Number one is what? Repent. Because sin, when there's sin in our lives, there's shame, there's guilt, there's no rest, there's distress, many things. But the Bible tells us to repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to come to God and acknowledge that, Lord, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you, God. And I thank you that you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sins. And that through the blood that you shed on the cross, I have the forgiveness of my sins. Repentance, it's a change of heart. You turn around. It's a 180-degree turn. So if I'm sinning, I'm headed that way. But when I repent, I make a 180-degree turn. So now I'll be facing God. See, God would tell us at times we think that we can go on with our lives apart from Him. Can I say this? We might be like, you know, things might go smoothly for a season. Only for a season. Because when Jesus said, I am the vine and you and I are the branches, that branch can only be sustained when it's connected to the vine. We need to stay connected with our Lord Jesus through His Word. When you say connection, how many of you appreciate being connected to Wi-Fi? Hello? One time I had a doctor's appointment and I was at Cedar Sinai, and in every location they had like a sign how to get connected to Wi-Fi. In every place you go, whether you go to Starbucks, right? Because you want to get connected to the wireless connection so that you enjoy your gadget, right? Yeah. If that's important to you, there's something much more important for us to be connected with, and that is to be connected with God. We have to stay connected with Jesus. Stay connected with Jesus. Because there are so many substitutes. I know that things are coming our way that would offer substitutes as far as, you know, how will I enjoy my day today? How will I enjoy my day today? The Word of God says, let's come into the presence of God. There's something about coming into God's presence. Amen. Number one is, if there's sin, we come to God and ask forgiveness. We repent. God, I've sinned against you, God. I did this. And it takes the Holy Spirit of God to show us what are those areas in our lives. But the thing is, why do I need Jesus? Because all of us are sinners. Because of our sin, it separates us from God. When we don't have Christ, we're bound to go to hell. We're bound to go to hell. Hell is real because God's Word says so. Hell was created for Satan and his demons, because they disobeyed God because of their pride. And so, but what Satan is doing now is he's trying to deceive people and say, don't believe that. That's just baloney. But when you and I would take that stand, I'd rather choose to believe the Word of God, to know that what's being offered to me is a gift of eternal life that I cannot accomplish for myself, because you and I cannot save ourselves from sin. Only Jesus did that for us. And so that's why, you know, I would just make this appeal to anyone. Make this appeal to anyone. It's not just about going to church and when we leave that door, we just do our own thing. When God gives us this opportunity, I pray that you will make that decision today, because it's not about, oh, I attended Sunday. When I was young, they call it obligation. I already did my obligation. No. It's a privilege for us to come into God's presence. There is a God who loves us. There's a God who knows what we're going through. And there's a God who cares for you and me, that He would want us to spend eternity with Him. Heaven is a beautiful place, a place where there will be no more pain, sorrow, crying, no death. And so what's being offered, you know, when you are given a gift on your birthday, sabi nga ni Brother Roel, at times we get gifts even if it's not our birthday. Oh, that's wonderful. When someone gives you a gift, what do? Huh? How do you complete that transaction? You receive it, and you don't say, how much do I owe you? You just receive it, and thank you. So what's being offered to us is free. It's a gift of salvation. It's the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus. Receive it. Please receive it. And to know of the confidence, absolute, absolute confidence, that when you and I die, I know where I'm headed, to be with Christ in heaven forever. Amen? So let us not exchange, you know, what this world offers, fleeting pleasures, for what God is offering to us, and which is eternal life. Amen. Praise God. So now, we see here that from the Word of God, we're going to be reminded of something that happened to the people of God. They started well, but in the middle of their spiritual journey, something happened. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2, please. Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's remember that these are the words of the Lord. The words of the Lord. Let's start with Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. How does verse 1 start? It says, the word of the Lord, letter L, the word of God. The word of the Lord came to me, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem is signifies the people of God. And the Lord says, you know, I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the desert, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them, declares the Lord. Now, let's pause here. Just in these verses alone, God gives a picture of his relationship with his people. It's like marriage. It's an analogy of marriage, right? So, you know, in a marriage between a man and a woman, you know, it tells about their love for one another. That's why they got married. They committed themselves to their partner. As far as their relationship is concerned, their love for one another. Amen. And so the Lord says, at one time, that's how you and I started, my people. You loved me in your youth. You, as a bride, you loved me. Wow, look at that. But then there were things that happened. That's why you and I need to guard our hearts. The Bible says, because the people of God tried to secure they sought security in material things. And so they were tempted to seek security from the things of their they possess. For those of you who were given the assignment in the book of Haggai, do you remember? Have you read? Yeah. Oh, you still have to submit your assignment. No, I'm going to let you know. So for those of you who have not yet done, this is grace. If you have not yet done your homework, you still have time to do it, okay? In the book of Haggai, they were reminded that you are spending your time on things that that doesn't satisfy, and you have neglected the work of the Lord. But that would be another Bible study. But here, The word of God teaches us that you and I may be tempted to seek security also from possessions, even from people. Do you find security in someone else other than God? Can that happen? Oh, yes. We could say, oh, I'm secured. You know, my job is secure. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Nothing in this world is permanent. I shared that with you, some of you. That's where I met Sister Nancy when I was led to work for AIG. And, you know, when we came on board in that company, people were already working there for like a good more than 30 years. And so when the business folded in that LA office, people were taken aback. It's like, what happened? It's like a bomb fell on them. It's like they could not sleep when we heard the news that the office was getting closed. And this was their comment. We thought that we were secured with our jobs here. No, we find our security in God alone. Can I say this? Even when that time comes for any one of us, when we would receive that news that no more job. I experienced that, but I thank God that I was already a Christian then. He prepared my heart for that moment that I wouldn't have a job. I was already attending Bible studies, and I remember Brother Ruel and Sister Janet, they came back from a trip in the Philippines. You know how the Word of God never returns void? We read that earlier. The souvenir that they brought was like a frame, and it had Romans 8:28. Oh, that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. You know, when I read that, it's like, wow, something happened in my heart. I didn't know that God was preparing me for that bad news. And so that's why when we were gathered at the office and, you know, the officer said, I'm sorry to break the news, but we will all be out of jobs. I was, of course, a little bit concerned. But you know what? I wasn't like the rest that were like hopeless. And I realized that, wow, it's because of Jesus. He became my strength. He became my strength. You know, I'm so excited already. There's so much to share. But the truth of the matter is the reality of Jesus. You know, we were singing that earlier. My Redeemer lives. Jesus is alive. That He will be in the midst of every crisis that will come. He said the truth, the plain truth, that in this world, you and I will have problems. Tribulations, that's His word. Tribulations, it's like, you know, that's a heavy word that talks about being like pounded, like a farmer pounding on the grain of wheat. What he does is he removes the chaff that covers the wheat because the farmer is after the grain of wheat or the grain of palai. God at times would only allow to a certain degree problems for that purpose to remove the chaff. What is that chaff in our lives? It can be pride. It can be pride. We think that, oh, no, you know me. It's pride. Pride comes from pride comes from the pit of hell. Pride was the reason why Satan was taken out. That's why he was kicked out in heaven. And so, but see, the thing here is, we have our Lord Jesus through His Holy Spirit to teach us about how to live a life in humility. Amen? And so the Lord prepared me for that. And you know what? I saw the benefits of it. During the time when I was out of job, I was already serving in one church, and it gave me an opportunity to strengthen myself more in the Lord, to study the Word of God more, and an opportunity to be a part of missionary trips. And can I tell you, those were the times wherein it's like I was like that dam. During that 1 month, on those occasions, I was like these living waters pouring on me, that I was filled to the overflow, that even right now, I'm like getting out of that reservoir with the Lord, with what the Lord has taught me throughout that time. So even when things are getting rough in life, can I say this to you, brethren? God has not given up on you. God has not forgotten you. Stay close to the Lord. Stay close to Jesus. Nurture your relationship with Him the way you would nurture a relationship with a loved one. You spend time with the person you love, and God is asking us to spend more time with Him. Amen? Because when you and I do that, we get stronger in our faith. Amen. Let's continue. Hallelujah. So here, verse 4, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? Do you know that you and I have the tendency to stray away from God? Because we are like sheep, and Jesus is our shepherd. Look at this. They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. What's an idol? It's not just limited to a statue. An idol, what becomes an idol in our lives is something that that takes the place of God in our hearts. We spend time on it, a lot of time on it. So have you heard of this news of there was a young teenage boy in Taiwan. Video games, it became his idol. He was there seated doing his video games straight for, I think, 2 days without getting up. And he died because you know what happens when we are inactive? Blood clots. See, God teaches us how to balance our lives. I have nothing against about certain things that we might be like our moment of, I find pleasure doing this. But He wants us to balance it. The enemy would always bring us to the degree of excesses. And we spend too much time on something that becomes an idol in our lives. And so the Lord would teach us how to balance our lives. When He would say, come to church, that's for us. It's for us. He doesn't grab us by the neck and say, you worship me. No, He waits for us. He waits for us till we say yes to Him. And when we do it out of a willing heart, not like dragging our feet. But can I say this? Grace would still come. Even when, I remember that when I was invited to a Bible study, I wanted to leave. So if you start that way, I started that way too. But it's the grace of God. And so I remember how they were teaching the word of God, and it's like I would always go out and when will this end? Oh my God. Well, Pastor Moret, it's already 20 to 1. I'm hungry. But the Lord says, what I give you, it's like food to our souls, right? Yes. And so let's spend more time with the Lord in His word. Amen? Okay. All right. Let's continue. Are you still here with me in Jeremiah 2? Okay. Let's look at that. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and reefs, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you, declares the Lord. Now, and I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coast of Kittim and look and send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there's ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glory. Because who is their glory? It's the Lord. For worthless idols. And then, be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns broken cisterns that cannot hold water. You know, a portion of what we read talked about how the people of God started right, and now they are after gods, other gods. Meaning to say, their priorities change. At one point, they were serving God, they were honoring God. But then things came up, and no longer God was number one in their heart. And someone and things took over what's close and dear to their heart. But what's amazing was, look at what the Word of God says here. In verse 10, God was saying that even pagan nations, okay, hear this. God says that even those nations who are serving gods who are not really gods, they did not change their gods. Did you see that? They remained loyal to their false gods. And yet, here are the people of God who was serving the true living God and yet exchanged God for something else. Wow. And it's not a surprise that God would constantly remind you and me, guard our hearts. Guard our hearts. Now, so what were the things that the Lord pointed out to them? Number one is that they have forsaken me. They have forsaken God, who is the spring of living waters. God is the source of this water of life for us. He would, you know, we thank God for this time that He reminds us that I am your source. If you and I have a need, whatever need it may be, Jesus, He is the source of the living water. Amen. And it's as they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. What is a cistern? It's like a jar. But it's broken. So if it's broken, it cannot even hold water. What that reminds us is this world would always offer substitutes. This world will always offer alternatives for us to find pleasure, to find joy. But, you know, as we would always say, when God would bless us, example, if God has blessed you financially and you're able to go for a vacation, that's fine. But we should remember that God is always the source of all of those things. And when there would be a challenge of whether will I do God's call first or exchange it with something pleasurable just to satisfy my own. So those things would come in your life and mine. But it's up to us whether, God, you're number one in my life. So God, you're my priority. Yes, thank you. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto us. God loves us so much that He doesn't want us to be toiling and laboring for nothing. We're hitting dead ends in our lives. But you know what? God is our guide. The other thing that God would want to remind us is He is our eternal guide. His word is life to us. And His word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. I always repeat this verse for everyone. It's because the word of God is truth. When you are in a tight bind and you don't know what to do, turn to God. Lord, speak to me, God. Ask for a word from God. Don't ask other people's opinion. Some people, no matter how they might have good intentions, no, seek God. And God would give you a word. He will give you a word that will guide you what to do. Amen. And so, you know, as we end, I'm going to read a portion of Psalm 63. We're going to end here. Psalm 63. And this was written by David. David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible tells us. He was a man who loves the Lord. He's a worshiper. But The Bible teaches us one thing from the life of David, and I'm going to read it here as we end. Psalm 63. Hallelujah. The theme of this psalm, it expresses David's desire for the presence of God, His provision and His protection. So three things that he desired, the psalmist David desired here in Psalm 63. Number one, three P's. God's presence, God's provision, and God's protection. Are you ready to read it with me along? Psalm 63, are you there? Yes. okay. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. How did he seek God? Earnestly. And he says, my soul thirsts for you and my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. See, when you and I come into the presence of God, because here David was going through difficult times, but that did not stop him from coming to God. One lesson that we were going to learn from this short verses is, even as Christians, even when you and I make that decision, you know, I've committed my life to Jesus, life will not be a bed of roses. There would always be challenges that will come. But the lesson here is, when those times come, like what he says, I find myself in a dry and weary land where there's no water. When there's no water, what? There's no life at all. There's pain. There's all this thirsting for things that won't satisfy. And yet, he went to God. Amen. Look at this. Verse 2. I have seen you where? In the sanctuary. That talks about coming into the presence of God. Coming to church. And beheld your power and your glory. Look at this. So the result was, when he sought God, he saw God's power. He saw God's glory. Hallelujah. And look at this. Then he experienced the love of God. Because, Lord, your love is better than life. Now my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. So for those who would say, oh, you are a bunch of people who are so, you know, too emotional, you know, lifting of hands, what's that? It's biblical. See, when you and I come to worship God, it involves our whole being. I can clap my hands. I can lift up my hands. Because you know what? When I lift up my hands, I'm saying, God, I'm yours. God, my life is totally surrendered to you. Amen? Ways to express what you and I feel deep inside about God. Hallelujah. And it says, my lips will glorify you. So let's not just remain silent. Let's express our love and our worship for the Lord. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be, okay, can we say that again? My soul will be satisfied. Where? In the presence of God. As with the richest of foods, with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Look at verse 6. On my bed, I remember, oh, he was just about to sleep, and yet he still remembered the Lord. Wow. Because he says, from the rising of a sun till its going down, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Amen. So even before you and I hit the sack, Lord, I bless you. Lord, even as I sleep, I thank you for your presence, that you're going to watch me, watch over my family. Amen. The presence of God, even when we're sleeping throughout the night. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, we bless your name. We read two portions of the scriptures. It talks about when you and I come to the Lord God, who is the fountain of living water. And the Lord brought it to the next level when Jesus said, for anyone who thirsts, as you come to me, rivers of living waters would flow. Listen, from fountain to rivers. When you and I personally make that choice to accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord, now we have this springs of living water that would lead to everlasting life. And when you and I make that decision to accept Christ, now you and I will... there would be the promise of rivers of living water flowing through your life and mine. What does that mean? You and I will be a channel of blessing to others. Let me put it this way. He would even start where we're at. That when you and I make that most important decision that any one of us can make, and that is to surrender our lives to Jesus and commit our lives to Him. something happens deep within us. He brings healing to our souls. He gives us that gift of salvation and the gift of eternal life. And the next thing is that He changes us and brings us hope and life, that even when we go to our respective places, the people around us, and it will start even at home, that you and I would be a channel of blessing to the people around us, in our families, in our workplaces. If you're a young person, when you go to school, there's so many young people that need Jesus in their lives. So many young people are aimless, going through lives without direction. I shared to you about those 10-year-old, 11-year-old that were charged with murder, because we realize that there's an enemy who's all out to destroy our lives. But praise God, that Jesus was given to us by God who loves us so much, that the remedy to our sin is repentance and coming to Him with all humility. We're going to partake, to take our communion, and we don't want to take this lightly. What you and I do every time we come on Sundays, it's part of our worship, and there's something about remembering what Jesus has done. So we're going to pray first. And even for those who have not yet made this conscious decision of accepting Christ as the living waters, He said, "Come to me, all of you who are thirsty, and I will give you drink, and this water that I will give you would last into everlasting life." So, and if you're that person and you would want to commit your life to Jesus today, just lift up your heart, and if you want to lift up your hand, there's something about acknowledging God in our presence, in our midst. And if you're that person, if you're ready to receive Christ as your Savior and Lord today, follow me in this very simple prayer. That's so simple that you're going to tell the Lord Jesus, to tell Him that I believe in you, I accept the forgiveness of my sins through what you have done at that cross, and I receive the gift of salvation and the gift of eternal life. And so if you're ready, let's say this prayer and mean it from our hearts. Lord Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. I realize that my sins have separated me from you. But thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross on my behalf. You are the living waters, and I receive this water, living waters from you. I open up my heart to you, Lord, and today I decide to make you my Savior and my Lord. Guide me from this day on with your Spirit and your Holy Word. And use me to love others. Use me to love my family and other people around me, that others may know of your salvation. In your holy name I pray. Amen. And if you're that someone that has known the Lord and you need to be revived, that through the words that we have read, that so many things that can come our way, that can take God's place in our lives, in your life and mine, and we have somehow forsaken God, let's come to Him with all humility and say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. Forgive me for allowing the substitutes of the world to take your place in my life, even my time. I ask of your Holy Spirit to guide me and grant me wisdom how to live my life that will please you. Revive my heart. Like the psalmist David, I long for you, and fill my heart with that living water, that rivers of living water that flow from within me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. As I call on the ushers, we're going to partake our communion. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God.
praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
I give honor.
Give honor to your name,
Lord Jesus.
Oh Lord, honor to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We give honor to your name.
Yes, honor the Lord Jesus.
Lord, honor to your name
with our lips.
Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. For your name is great, Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Hallelujah. Lord, what a blessed time you've given us to be in your presence today. For in your presence there's rest. In your presence there's strength and joy and victory, deliverance, peace, and healing. And Lord, even before we partake our communion, God, may you accept our worship to you, God. Like the psalmist, Lord God, we seek you with all of our hearts, God. And we thank you, Lord God, for this moment you've given everyone gathered today to know you in a very, very intimate, personal, and powerful way that only your Spirit can do, God. Even that when we leave this place, God, you will continually speak to our hearts, God. And Lord, a powerful moment to be reminded of your love for us, because the cross is a reminder, powerful reminder of how great your love is for all of us. That Jesus, you died for us while we were yet sinners. That in your love and grace and mercy, you made a way for us to be reconciled with you, Father God, by sending your only Son. How much you love him, and yet, Lord, your love is great for us, towards us. And so, God, even as we read the scriptures, to be reminded of what the death of our Lord Jesus on the cross signifies. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we remember one of your powerful declarations when you said, "I am the bread of life." We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your broken body, God. You suffered and died on that cross. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that because of your death, of your suffering, Lord Jesus, we have been given the gift of eternal life. Father God, even before we partake this bread, we say, thank you, Lord. In your own words, Paul, begin to thank the Lord for what Jesus has done in your life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as we partake this bread, thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. Hallelujah. In your holy name, in Jesus' name, as we partake the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you and I proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord Jesus, we thank you for your most precious blood that you shed on that cross, because your word says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But by your blood, Lord Jesus, we have the forgiveness of all of our sins. And we thank you as we partake this cup to remember of the power of your blood that cleanses us from all of our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. In your holy name we pray as we partake the cup. Let's thank him. Amen. Praise God. Let's all rise up. And let's just continually worship God. Like what the psalmist said, we lift up our hands. We express with our lips our worship for the Lord, because Jesus is worthy of our praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We sing praises to the name of our Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, before I forget, while you're standing, before we worship. Okay, let's worship. I'm sorry. Let's worship, and then I'm going to ask you to sit down because we're going to take a second offering. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
I sing praises to your name.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Jesus,
I sing praises to your name.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Lord God.
Holiness.
Oh, we bless your holy name. We bless your holy name.
Your holy name.
Oh, thank you. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the living waters. You are the living waters. That you have satisfied the hunger in our hearts today. That only you can bring satisfaction, no one else and nothing else, God. And we thank you for touching everyone gathered today, Lord, and even our children, God. We remember that you are our refuge, Lord. And the safest place that anyone can be is to be in your presence. To be in the center of your perfect will in our lives, God. And so, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit of God, that even God, even as we are to be dismissed later on, that your presence will abide in our lives. That your peace and joy come upon every home. That the walls of every home be filled with the joy and the peace of God. And Lord, above all, God, we ask that as you fill us with your Spirit, oh God, that rivers of living water flowing through our lives, that you would use all of us, oh God, to touch someone who's hungry and thirsty and they don't know what it is, God. May you find us faithful, pointing them to Jesus. And Lord, even as we take our second offering, God, we thank you that, Lord, oh God, you are reminding us all that there are so many needs around us. We remember the poor people in Montalban, Rizal, in the Philippines, God. You have touched our hearts, God, to express your love for these people, God, through our giving, God. Even right now, we thank you, God, for the generosity, Lord God, upon your people here in the New and Living Way. For we know that, God, you said that, Lord, when we give to the poor, it's like lending to you. That you have a way of blessing your people back as we do this as unto you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. As we call on the ushers for our second offering. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, Sister Awi. God bless you as you give us unto the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's all rise up as we are to be dismissed. Thank you, Lord. Let's all rise up. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.